Welcome to the Social Impactors Podcast. This podcast is all about impact. We work to highlight impactful individuals making positive social change in their communities. From coaches, authors, entrepreneurs, influencers, we tap into the minds of some of the most impactful people around the world to find out how they have built a life of creating impact. Now listen in and be ready to go on a journey of enlightenment, motivation, and awe. Social impact everywhere.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Social Impactors Podcast, a podcast where we highlight people making positive social change in their communities. And today we have Irina, and Irina and I met on LinkedIn, and she's actually close to where I am, which is amazing. So we have another Ontario social impactor. And Irina, I want to first say thank you for being on the podcast. And I'd love for you just to start with, you know, who you are, what you do, and why you believe you're a social impactor.
Thank you so much, Avery. And I'm so happy to be here, and I'm so happy we're building more and more on Ontario impactors, because I believe in local communities, and actually when I work, I like to work with people all over the world, but I also love the people that I can hug. Mm-hmm. And so my name is Irina Benedicte, and I'm the founder of the Entrepreneur Enlightenment Academy. I'm a business coach and spiritual teacher. So I know that's a bit weird, because combining business with spirituality is something that I have come to the conclusion that they work together. And they actually create a social impact, because when we lead with the heart, that's when we do our best work into the world.
Yeah, it's true. And if you don't mind me asking, I know you explained it a little bit, but when did you merge spiritual leader or spiritual teacher with entrepreneurship or social entrepreneurship? When did that happen?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. So my background, I was a nuclear engineer. Like, I was an engineering manager in nuclear industry. I used to work in corporate, and I was an engineering manager. So I was very left brain, everything scientific, everything has to make sense. When I discovered my path, like going into my own business, into coaching, funny enough, I discovered this through an intuitive who told me that my path is something else. They said, I see you into teaching, I see you into courses. And I said, no, like, I'm a nuclear engineer, you don't understand. Like, we only have limited places where we work. There is nothing as such that you see. But I felt inside of me the calling, and I left my corporate career to start my coaching business. And the first time I started my coaching business, it had a very kind of corporate-y, logical name. It was called Strategic Achievement Coach, like very safe. And then I had a personal path, because I was born in a communist country and in a family that was a bit abusive. So I had suffered like emotional, physical abuse and even sexual abuse. So I had a lot of self-discovery to do. And that's why I went into coaching, to discover how to heal and to discover how not to suffer and how to help other people not suffering. But as I went on to my path, I took the coaching with Tony Robbins. So I took like the, again, left brain coaching. But at the same time, I worked with an intuitive healer. So as I was practicing my coaching, I was thinking, well, like, I didn't figure out myself just with the coaching. I had this other part, the intuitive healing, with it. So I felt like I want to offer to my clients, in honesty, like, what helped me progress on my path and what helped me heal. So I thought, like, okay, I think I have to bring spirituality in. But being a trained engineer, being a professional engineer, it took me very long to actually admit it publicly that there is more to what I'm doing than just logical coaching.
Yeah.
And a very interesting thing is that it came to me to do meditation in a group. I started coaching groups right from the beginning, because it's my personality. And it came to me to do a meditation. I was never trained in a meditation. And I was talking to myself in my head, like, why should I do meditation? Like, I've never learned, and what should I do? And is it woo? And is it weird? And but I've learned in my profession, like, I've learned to go with what comes to me, because if I start to censor, then I'm not true in service to the people in front of me. So this is how it started. It came to me and I've done it. And then people said, I felt this and I felt that. And then I kept doing it. And the second part was when I had to do it on Skype with a client from Russia. I was going, like, in my mind, yeah, like, right. Like, my energy is going to go all the way to Russia, you know, from Canada. And the interesting thing, it worked. So as I practiced doing, and then I had to come out of the closet and actually post it, that this is what I do. It's cognitive coaching combined with spirituality.
Wow, that's quite the journey. And I think that's, I want to say thank you for saying that too. I know there was a little bit of a personal touch there in the beginning, but I think that helps a lot with the story behind building Entrepreneur Enlightenment. And let's jump into the first official question then, because I think that's a really good segue. And it's about community. So how are you making a positive impact in your community? And this isn't the business. I'm curious about you as Irina. How are you making a positive impact in your community?
Yeah, it's interesting because my life is my business. So it's very difficult for me to cut myself from my business. But I'll tell you two things. One is business related, one is personal. So we moved from the city. We used to live in Oakville when we both were in corporate. We moved to the country and we live on 84 acres of land.
Wow.
And I feel that I am the keeper of this land to keep it as an oasis. So we register for managed forest. And my vision is to develop the trails, like to keep this as an oasis. And even like I feel part of my legacy, like my intention is part of my legacy to have a fund that this land will become like a park, like a place where people could come for healing, for finding themselves. We built a labyrinth on the land. And now as part of what I do for my clients, I do bring people from Toronto, from areas that are busy, and just having them come here and go, like it's, I see them. Because I used to teach and I used to go to Oakville because I thought, or to Toronto because I thought, you know, you have to go where the people are. But now more and more I invite them here. So I invite them to the land and they see that transformation. So that's my number one, which is personal, is to create this land and to keep it safe and good forest and healthy forest so it stays an oasis.
Yeah.
And the second one is related to business. The idea when I created this, I don't know if you know coaching industry, but there is a lot of hype of online and you can do everything, courses. But I felt that I want to create something that's local in Ontario, in Canada, but in Ontario especially, because a lot of people travel to the States to learn what I'm teaching. Like a lot of people travel, like I travel to the States to see Tony Robbins, like, you know, but my idea was if people have something available local, that's my also my input to the community that is local. Plus when people meet, like I have networking meetings at my place, when people meet in person, like, yes, I have many friends on Facebook and I have many friends across the world. But when people meet in person, I feel that that heart connection goes a bit deeper.
Yeah.
Those are the two things that I do for community here. And my plan in the future, I want to have horses. And because I was an abused child and I was lucky in a sense because I found my path and I was very determined, but not everybody is as lucky as I am. My plan is to have this not treatment but therapy with horses for teenagers that, you know, there is in Canada and Ontario, they have programs, but to a certain age, government funded. But after a certain age, they don't have it, and I want to provide that. That's like a few years. I am still building a lot because we bought this land, vacant land, so we had to kind of build everything.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great plan. That is, it definitely fills a hole, and I understand. Like, I know there's certain ages where things happen, and between the age of like 18 to 25, there's not a lot of supports. There's a lot of youth support for mental health and sexual abuse, and then it goes up until adulthood. But yeah, there is that middle line where there's not a lot of supports.
Yeah.
So let's jump into the second question then, and it's the second official question. It's about business. So this is where you can talk more about, you know, enlightenment and what you've done, and it's on the idea of social impact. So do you believe social impact is an important part of business? And if so, why?
I think this is our role these days, is to take the business that used to be like the old way of doing business, where everything was driven by the bottom line, and to turn it at everything being driven by the heart. And that's actually the base of what I teach. Like, I teach purpose-driven business. Mm. And when people say, what's the difference between a business and a purpose-driven business? A business, you can, for example, buy a franchise, let's say a Tim Horton. You count the numbers on a paper and you draw the line and you say, okay, this makes a good money. So I'm going to buy this business. I'm going to do this business. Mm-hmm. When it's purpose-driven business, you put the heart first. You put, what is it that I want to contribute? What is it? Who am I, like, as a person? What has been my experience? And what can I uniquely contribute to the world? Mm-hmm. And then the money, because I do teach business. I used to be a business manager in corporate, and I raised the business from 1 million to 7. So I think I do want purpose-driven businesses to make money, because I want more people to have a purpose-driven business, right? Mm. And if all people in purpose-driven business are struggling with money, then what's the incentive for the other people to join?
Yeah.
So this is what I feel, that when you lead with the heart is a social impact, because you as a person are more whole, more fulfilled, and people can sense when the honesty comes through, when you're not the main concern about money, when the main concern is about how can I make a difference and how can I make an impact.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. And so what's your advice for others to begin making a positive impact, or just a general impact in their communities?
My advice is that you have to first see what's in your heart. Like, you really have, I really wish for everyone to discover themselves first. Mm. Because when you're young, you're influenced by so many things, even the fads or the like social media. Like, there is a lot of influences, and maybe you want to be cool and you want to fit in. But the idea is, when we're social entrepreneurs, when we're enlightened entrepreneurs, we don't fit in, because our uniqueness is what's required. Mm. So I invite people to first discover who they are and what makes them tick. Mm. And then, even if I tell this, even if it's teaching music to dogs, if that's what your heart desires, that's what is needed. It's not that your neighbor says that's bogus and who will teach you, who will hire you to teach their dog to sing.
Yeah.
It's what is you, that's what is needed in this world. So this is my advice. Find out who you are, because the money will come. We can look at history and we can see many people who had crazy ideas considered at that time, and they made a ton of money. Mm. So we don't need to fit in. We don't need to be like everybody else. We can be who we are and have success.
Yeah. It was funny because I saw, I think it was just a random YouTube ad, but it was a couple days ago, and it really solidified the fact that you don't need to fit in. And I was thinking about, you know, the standard jobs and usually what people go for. And this gentleman, he has made a career the past 30 years of his life, and he draws spaceships. Mm-hmm. And when I saw it, I was like, wait a second. And I had to think about it objectively. And his job is that he designs spaceships, but he's done all the ones for Star Trek and, you know, all these crazy shows. And he makes a very good living. And he does what he loves, and he just draws spaceships.
Yeah. But
there's a job for everything. And he talked about, you know, his beginning. He said, I like drawing spaceships. That's it. He liked drawing it. So he followed through with that. And then someone saw success in it. And now he does it for a living, and he has for his life. Like, that's the capacity of what we're able to do when you follow your passion, is it leads you down different paths, but there's always an opportunity to make that a paid opportunity, always.
That's it.
Yeah. Awesome. So Irene, I want to thank you for being on the podcast. Really good conversation. I love that you're doing this local in Ontario too, because I see it affecting in my backyard too. And we definitely need to, you know, all together build this up. But I'd love for you to maybe now plug Entrepreneur Enlightenment and where people can find information on that and just see more about it.
Mm-hmm. So at the Entrepreneur Enlightenment, we support entrepreneurs in all aspects of their journey. Because that's why, like, I work personal, spiritual, and business. So I have, like, business strategy, like, very good, solid business strategy principles. And it's local and also online. So there is the entrepreneurenlightenmentacademy.com where people can go and find more information. But also, I wrote all the philosophy in a book, like you can see it in a banner. But this is the book. It's available on Amazon. Mm. And it's called A Guide to Establish and Expand Your Purpose-Driven Business. So can be used for people who are just freshly starting in a business. Like, I have had clients who were fresh out of school, fresh out of the nutrition school, or like fresh out and wanted to start a business. But I also have people who had a business for 20 years, but they never thought to bring purpose into it. So when they tweak that and brought purpose into it, that business even flourished and more fulfilled them. So the book would be a very great place to start. And I like to teach good business practices combined with spirituality and personal growth, because this is why I want to share this. I found that entrepreneurship is a very good path to enlightenment. Mm. Enlightenment means to have transcended your ego and your fears. Mm. In order to do a good business, you have to transcend your ego and your fears. Like, in order to sell, you have to transcend your fear of rejection, your fear of being considered odd or pushy, or, you know. So entrepreneurship is a good path to a spiritual enlightenment. Because it requires more of you when you have to put food on your tables through your business, you know, when some people have a family to raise through their business. Like, you have to step out of your comfort zone. You have to become more to do that. And that leads you to becoming enlightened.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. And anyone who wants to look for that, they can look in the book. And I love what you're doing. I really do. And I just want to say one more time, thank you for being on the podcast and taking time out of your day to be with me here.
Yes. And I want to say, if people want to also see the website, that's where we talk about curriculum. That's where we have the group. Like, if people are drawn to join us by any means, that's where they will find more information. And I love for everyone, no matter where you are and what you do, to follow your heart, because your heart leads you to the most successful life that you can have for yourself.